Good afternoon to me. Week 36, and after this one, I will officially be caught up on these videos. I got behind when my laptop was in the shop, but we're cruising again. So today is actually the second week on Baptist Faith and Message, Article 11, which is Evangelism and Missions. What I'd like to do is read it and then look at least one cross-reference. We'll see how long I ramble on with this one cross-reference from Romans 1, but maybe two others that are on my mind. It's difficult because there's so many cross-references for this call upon us to share the Word of God, and even as I was saying that, a fourth one came into my head, but we'll see. Evangelism and Missions. Let me pray, and then we'll do it. Father, thank you again for the great and wonderful salvation that you've given us, the hope of eternal life. What a blessing. And let us not seek meaning or purpose or fulfillment or joy in the things of this world, but in Christ and in a relationship with him and in the life that is found in him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, it is the duty and privilege. Oh, by the way, I forget if I said this or not. This is Article 11. From the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. All right. Evangelism and Missions. It is the duty and privilege of every follower of Christ and of every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to endeavor to make disciples of all nations. The new birth of man's spirit by God's Holy Spirit means the birth of a love for others. Missionary efforts on the part of all rest thus upon a spiritual necessity of the regenerate life and is expressly and repeatedly commanded in the teachings of Christ. So Christ commands missionary effort, and being born again demands missionary effort and will lead to a missionary effort out of a love for others. The Lord Jesus Christ has commanded the preaching of the gospel to all nations. It is the duty of every child of God to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by verbal witness, undergirded by a Christian lifestyle, and by other methods in harmony with the gospel of Christ. And we talked about that at week 35. Right now, I just want to read a little bit from Romans 1. Paul's talking about his call to be an apostle, whereby he was set apart for the gospel of God. He's addressing the Christians in Rome and how he wants to come with them, minister to them, minister the gospel to them. And where do I want to pick this up? Well, I'll pick it up here in verse 13. Just so you can see where I am, I'll highlight this. I know I go highlight crazy on these things. Sorry about that. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but have thus far have been prevented. And now he says why he wanted to come to them, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. What kind of harvest is he talking about? A spiritual harvest brought about by the gospel. We'll see it. Verse 14. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul was not confused about what he was to be about as an apostle. He was not confused about where true spiritual growth would come from. He was not confused about how people could get saved and come into a relationship with God. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel, is the power unto salvation. Let's keep reading. Anyway, so he's eager. He was eager to preach the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Verse 16. Let me highlight this for you, for us. And remember what we were talking about. This evangelism and missions. Paul had a burden. He was eager. We should have a burden. We should be eager. And secondly, we should not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Verse 16. For it is the power of God for salvation. The gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation, or unto salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And historically, that's how the gospel was made known. That's how salvation came first to the Jew, then to the Greek. It's for everyone, everyone who believes. That's why it says everyone. It wasn't just for Israel as a nation. It was for all nations. Make disciples in all nations. Of all nations, rather. Not just in all nations, but the text in Matthew 28 says, of all nations. Let me go back here, since I brought it up. Right here, where it says, to endeavor to make disciples of all nations. And I'm sure that'll be in there. Cross-references. Oh, no, it's not in there. Yeah, it's got to be. Here it is. The Great Commission, if it loads up. Move that over. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So that's the Great Commission. Back to Romans. He's eager to preach the gospel. He has a heart for the lost, a heart for God's glory and salvation. He's not ashamed of the gospel. He knows it's the power of God for salvation. So if he gets ashamed of the gospel, his ministry is in trouble. And if we're ashamed of the gospel, our ministry is in trouble, because it is the power of God for salvation. For everyone who believes, so we're preaching the gospel, urging all to believe. Preaching the gospel, urging all to believe. Come to faith in Christ. Give your life to Christ. Believe in him. Trust in him. He is who he says he is. God and man, and the one mediator between God and man. He takes away sin. He really takes away the guilt and the sin of those who come to him in faith. Believe him. Believe in Jesus. This is the gospel ministry. We preach Christ. Christ crucified. Christ risen by the power of God. Christ reigning in heaven as the source of salvation. He would give salvation freely to all who comes to him in faith. In it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, in God's law, right, his commandments, right, just his moral law, his revealed will, God's commandments, his law reveals God's righteousness. But it's a righteousness that we don't have. We can never measure up. So it exposes our sinfulness. But the gospel is different than the law. The gospel reveals righteousness in a different way, in an additional way. Through the gospel, God provides a righteousness for us. Right? Through the gospel, God provides a righteousness for us. The law shows us what righteousness is, but does not provide righteousness for us. But Jesus Christ provides a righteousness for us, namely his righteousness. And this is part of our gospel preaching. This is part of what we teach people who don't know Christ, that Jesus lived a righteous life, and he'll give you that righteousness as a gift as you come to him in faith. So he takes away our sins, but he gives us righteousness. This is how the gospel is the power of God for salvation. How? It provides a righteousness for those who have none. Right? In it. For, right? It's the, how can I get rid of that? Right? The gospel, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. So, it's through faith in Christ, you receive righteousness by which you stand before God, holy, acceptable, blameless, right in God's sight. That's called justification, which Paul gets into in great depth in Romans 3, 4, and then goes out from there just mapping out the blessings of salvation. But all of this, launching off from this evangelism and missions article, wanting to give a little more backing to it, we should be eager to minister the gospel. We should not be ashamed to minister the gospel, knowing it's the power of God. Verse 17, we need to know why is it and how is it that the gospel saves sinners, and how is it that it's the power of God? This is God's way of providing righteousness for sinners. It's the way he makes sinners able to come to him and not fall under wrath and judgment, through the person and work of Christ. And we come into a union with Christ through faith. His righteousness becomes ours. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Really, that's the only thing on my heart right now. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. All right, well, God bless you. Thanks for joining, and Lord willing, I'll see you this coming Sunday for Catechism, the 37th Lord's Day. Bye-bye.